Well, it's a joy to be here tonight, and man, I'm honored to be here. I mean that. But I also don't have to preach. I've been in some services before where it wasn't my turn, and I don't want to preach when it's not my turn. And I've been in some services where it never became my turn, and that was all right. That was okay. We were in a service sometime back, and man, it just got on. I mean, the Spirit of God began to work, and God began to move, and the altar was filled, and folk were making decisions. And I was supposed to be coming up to preach. I was sitting up on the platform with the pastor, and I said, "Preacher, whatever you do, don't you bring me up to preach if I'm not supposed to preach tonight." I said, "I'll mess this up if you know." So you know what? It's not about a personality, is it? Unless it's the personality of Jesus Christ. And man, he's what it's all about tonight. Thank you, church. Thank you so much. I appreciate the love offering so much. I mean that. I told your pastor, I said, "Listen, if you need somebody to come up and preach for free, I'll do it, brother. I mean it. I will." And I'm like him. I've been in churches where they were generous with a love offering. I preached in churches where they didn't give any love offering. And by the way, I'd go back and preach. That's not why we preach anyway. But I do appreciate your generosity. This is no doubt, this is one of the most generous churches that I have ever been to. And man, I you know what I told you last night? I'm in it. If I lived in this area and I wasn't a member of a good church, I'd join Calvary. I would. Of course, I'm already a member of Calvary, but I joined this Calvary. If nothing else, I joined here just because Jerry and Martha had me over to eat. I would. If you wonder why I preach so short tonight, well, it's because Miss Martha filled us up so much tonight that I sure appreciate Brother Jerry and Miss Martha and appreciate their hospitality and having us over in their home tonight. What a fabulous, fabulous time of fellowship we had over there with them and some of your folks, and a tremendous meal tonight. And I just want to let them know how much I appreciate them. It's good to have some of our folks here tonight. It's good to have Brother Jerry Cass, and Jerry wrote it with me tonight. And so glad that he got to come. He's one of the best men I know. I mean that. One of the best Christians I know is Jerry Cass, and then Brother Justin and his family are back tonight, and I don't know where they are, but I appreciate them. They're out there somewhere, and I appreciate Brother Justin and Miss Kristen and their family, and it's good to see Brother Ryan tonight, and I sure love Brother Ryan. He's a blessing. I love just be around that guy. When I get around him, I want him just to rub off on me. You know, I mean, he's so excited, and bubbly, and I'm like, "Man, Lord, give me some of that. I want some of that." And then I love your preacher and his family, his wife and family. And I mean that. I count Pastor Mark as one of my dearest and nearest friends in the ministry. And I just love it. Man, I just love being here. And thank you for letting us come and be a part of this meeting. And I trust the Lord's done something, and he has, because we've had somebody saved. And so proud of Connor for getting saved. And it could be, I just feel like because of the direction the service has taken, it could be tonight that before this service is done, somebody else is going to make the same decision that Connor made this week. And we thank the Lord for that. Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. This is probably the last message I planned on preaching tonight. Before the week ever got here, I've been praying for the meeting for weeks and weeks. Been praying for you, been praying for your pastor and his wife and family. And pray for them. Pray for Macy and Jake and Mara and the whole family, Miss Cindy. And I've been praying for you. And I've been praying for the meeting that God would work and that God would direct and God would lead. And so before the meeting ever got here, I began to try to seek the will of the Lord. And I have a file called my special message file. And I have about, I don't know, probably 150 messages in there that I preach around some. And they just preach good. I mean, they're just fun to preach. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. And so I'm going to be honest. For tonight, I dug out one of those messages. And I was going to preach that message tonight. And it is a great message. I mean, it really is. But I looked at it, and it was just like, Lord said, nope. It's not the one. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I've been praying for weeks about this meeting, And I came to a message that I had not planned on preaching. It's not flashy. It doesn't have all the great illustrations and things like that. So if you don't like the message tonight, take it up with Jesus. All right? All right? I want you to take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. I'm not going to preach long. I'm looking at the clock right now. I'll tell you what, if you'll give me about 30 minutes, and we'll probably be out of here and on our way home tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject, some things that man cannot do. Some things that man cannot do. Psalm chapter 9, will you find your place? I'll give you one last opportunity to stretch your legs, and we'll stand also out of respect for the reading of God's word. Psalm chapter 9, and look, if you will, at verse number 17. The Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight." Now I want you to notice verse 20, church. In fact, why don't we read verse 20 together? Ready? The Bible says, "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Selah. Of course, that little rest at the end, that pause. And the psalmist is saying, stop and reflect upon what you just read. The Bible says, "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." And that's what I want to do for a few moments tonight, is I want to just remind us that that's all we are, is just men and women. And simply put, there are some things we cannot do. You may be seated tonight. We're going to pray, and this will be super, super simple tonight, but I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope it'll speak to somebody's heart. Father, we love you. I can't believe it's Thursday night. It's been a fast week. It's been a different week, Lord, with the passing of the pastor's mom. And Lord, there's been a lot of burden. There's been a lot of heaviness. Been some rejoicing too. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, Pastor Mark's mother testified of her faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, while she was making her way to heaven, we had another finding their way to heaven. And we thank you for Connor's decision to trust Christ. And God, I pray that you'll put your hand of blessing upon him. And I pray that you'll use him in a great, great way for the cause of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll bless our discussion tonight. And I pray that Jesus will receive glory and praise and honor from all that's done. I pray what I say will lift him up. I pray what I say will make sense. God, I even pray it'll be interesting. I pray that nobody will be bored tonight. I pray it'll be interesting. And Heavenly Father, I pray that if there may be one here this evening that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray tonight will be the night that they'll come to know the Lord. We pray for power now and your blessing. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. How many know that sometimes we get to thinking of ourselves a little higher than we really should as human beings? Sometimes we get to thinking that we deserve things that we don't deserve. Sometimes we get to thinking that we can do things that really we cannot do. I'm mindful of what the psalmist said in Psalm 131, verse number 1. The psalmist said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty." And then he said, "Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." You know what, Calvary? I'm going to be honest with you. There's some things too high for Steve Pope. Like many of you, I have a college education, college degree tonight. It's not for everybody. Even Bible college is not for everybody. I'm glad I went. I needed it. And I'm thankful that God used that time to make some changes in my life. And I'm thankful for my college education. I'm thankful that I've been able to pastor a church now for 26 and a half years, the same church, the same group of people, for 26 and a half years. And I'm sure that just like your pastor could say, I've learned a lot of things in 26 and a half years. I've learned some things to do. I've learned some things not to do. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done some right things. I've done some wrong things. I look back now over some of the things I used to preach, and I think, oh, dear God, you can't believe I used to say some of the things I used to say and do some of the things I used to do. But I just said that to say this. You know what? I've come to the place, and I've come to the conclusion where I realized that, you know what? I'm just a man. That's all I am. I'm just a man. I mean, I put my pants on just like you put yours on, one leg at a time. You know, my breath doesn't smell any better than yours does in the morning. I mean, it's just, folk, truth of the matter is, we just are what we are. And somebody said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I. I can call on Jesus' name, and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we tonight are just man. Man at his best is just mortal. Flesh and blood. Our existence is limited. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Listen, we are just men. Now with that said tonight, I'll grant it. Sometimes a man's pretty smart. I mean, the truth of the matter is, there are some things that sometimes God gives knowledge. And by the way, if you have knowledge, God gives knowledge according to the book of Proverbs. But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes, especially in this day in which we're living, and of course we know that this is a sign of the times. The Bible says that in the last times that knowledge shall be increased. But I'm going to be honest. There are some things that are happening in these last days. And man's pretty sharp. He really is. I thought about this. It was 1903 in a little place called Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, where Orville and Wilbur Wright got together and they were successful in flying the first human being. The first flight lasted for 3.5 seconds and then crashed. Some people know, some people don't. But that first prototype airplane that you often see never flew again. It crashed so bad that it damaged it beyond repair, and they had to go back and build another plane before they were able to fly again. And the second flight lasted a mere 12 seconds and went 120 feet. You say, preacher, why are you telling us that? Because now in 2018, a human being can walk on an Airbus 380 along with 852 other people and traveled to a destination going almost 700 miles an hour. And if you were to go to Los Angeles LAX tonight, you can stand there and one after another, you watch those Airbus 380s come in with almost 1,000 people. And I look at those things coming in and I think, Lord, how in the world does that ever get off the ground with that many people and fly that fast? And so I want to say, you know what? The truth is, man has achieved some amazing things. They really have. All you car lovers out there, the first stationary gasoline engine was developed by a guy of Carl Benz. It was a one-cylinder, two-stroke unit, which ran for the first time on New Year's Eve, 1879. You'll love this. It was a two-seater. And so if you had kids, I guess they just lost out. It was a two-seater, and all you road haul guys out there, you'll love this. The engine output was 0.75 horsepower. And so not quite a horsepower. You say, preacher, why'd you tell that? Because now in 2018, we have automobiles that are capable of driving themselves without human interaction. We have self-braking, self-parking, air-conditioned seats, heated seats, heated steering wheels, fully automated, Bluetooth compatible, Wi-Fi, and the new Dodge Charger SRT comes equipped with a supercharged engine boasting 707 horsepower. And just last week, I was standing in the showroom and stood right beside the new Dodge Demon with a 6.2 liter Hemi V8 engine, delivers 840 horsepower. And by the way, the sticker price, $83,295. What's your point, brother? My point is, man has achieved some great things. We've come a long ways, baby. In the 1700s, people moved around by stagecoach. If the roads were in good shape, they moved at 10 miles per hour. We now have trains that travel 357 miles an hour while people sip coffee or drink Coca-Cola in an air-conditioned dining car. The pilgrims left Plymouth, England on September 16th and arrived at Cape Cod on November the 21st, 36 days it took them to make that 3,100 mile track. 36 days. Now, America has a plane called the X-15 that can travel at almost Mach 7. That's 5,100 miles per hour, more than six times the speed of sound. And if that plane had enough gas to make that 3,100 mile track, what they did in 36 days, it could do in 30 minutes. What's your point, preacher? Man has achieved a lot of things. We've come a long, long ways. One of the first computers known to man was completed in 1946. It took up 1,800 square feet. That's six hotel rooms. First computer. It weighed 50 tons. 50 tons. Only 71 years later, just released the new iPhone 10 with a capacity of 256 gigabytes, an A11 Bionic chip with 64-bit architecture neural engine, embedded M11 motion coprocessor, several built-in cameras, including a 12-megapixel wide angle and telephoto lens with 1080p HD video recording capability and true depth camera for facial recognition. You say, what does that mean? I have no idea. And you can put it in your pocket. Man has achieved some amazing things. I mean, it's amazing what God has allowed the human mind to conceive and what God has allowed the human beings to achieve. And so I want you to understand tonight that, brother, there are some amazing things that man has done. But may I say tonight, as good as we think we are at times, and as high as we think we are at times, and as mighty as we think we are at times, there are still some things that man simply cannot do. How about this? Man cannot stall death from coming. Once your preacher started the service and the service began to go a certain direction, I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. I see now. Now I know why you want me to go this direction. Lord, I think we're on the right wavelength. You understand tonight that regardless of how knowledgeable man is, regardless of how educated man is, that man cannot stall death from coming. Oh, I admit tonight, there are some things that you can do to extend your life. Eating right, exercise. My wife and I, we started counting calories. Sort of gives you a bad taste when you even say that, doesn't it? I would say the calorie counter did not come on at Uncle Jeremy and Aunt Martha's tonight. I left it at home tonight. But she assured me that sweet potato casserole was no calories. She assured me of that. And I know that Miss Martha would never lie. And now you can do things that will try to extend your life. But according to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8, the Bible says there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. I'm just telling you, brother, you know what? Regardless regardless of how smart you are, how educated you are, how many college educations you have, did you know there's not one thing that you and I can do to stall death from coming? They tell us tonight that the anti-aging industry generates more than $80 billion a year. People are consumed with that fountain of youth. They're consumed with not dying. Man, they fear death. They don't want to die. They don't want death to come knocking on their door. And so because of that, they're constantly looking for something that can extend their life. I read the story. When Pope Innocent VIII lay on his deathbed in 1492, they paid 3 10-year-old boys were paid a gold coin back in that day to each give their blood to the pontiff. All three 10-year-old boys died. And so did the Pope. You know why? Because there's nothing you can do to stall death from coming. And there's nothing I can do to stall death from coming. In 1976, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that human life could be extended to 800 years. But so far it hasn't happened yet. Now I'm just telling you, brother, we can create great motors and we can build great planes and we can put great ships on the ocean. But I'm just telling you, brother, as mighty as man thinks he is, there are some things that man just cannot and will never be able to do. And one of those is you'll never keep death away 1 second. I tell our people all the time, that's one appointment you'll never be late for. And that's one appointment you'll never get out of. I think tonight about Steve Jobs. Most of you recognize the name Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the founder of the Apple Corporation. As of July 2016, it was reported that Apple had sold over 1 billion iPhones and that Steve Jobs was worth $31.6 billion and that he owned almost 5.5 million shares of Apple stock. Now, church, I'm going to be honest. Most of us can't even hardly figure out what a million is. But a billion? And Steve Jobs is worth 31.6. A billion. $1 billion. You say, preacher, what is a billion? What's $1 billion? Well, if someone were to give you $1 billion today, and you spent $1,000 a day for the rest of your life, it would take 2,740 years before you spent it all. He was worth not one, but worth $31.6 billion. What's your point? My point is, when pancreatic cancer came to Steve Jobs, there was not a doctor that could stall death. There was not a specialist that could stall death. There was not a bank account that could stall death. He could not hold it off, brother. When death came knocking, Steve Jobs had to answer. It was Queen Elizabeth I. They said about Queen Elizabeth I that she had a dress in her wardrobe for every single day of the year. But when Queen Elizabeth I was on her dying bed, she said this, "All my possessions for a moment of time." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when death comes, you better be ready. You better be ready. I said, when death comes, you better be ready. You better be ready. This is not morbid preaching. I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's not like I want to go on the next trip, but I don't really dread death. I mean, brother, I know where I'm going. I know whom I have believed. I know when I check out here, I'm going to change addresses to there. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And I'm not dreading death. But I'm just telling you, if you're here tonight and you're not ready to die, you're not ready for death. Oh, listen, can I challenge you tonight? Do whatever you do, get ready to die. Get ready to, listen, make sure before you walk out that door tonight that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm just saying, when death comes, there is no rain check when death comes. Hey, there is no rescheduling when death comes. There is no calling in when death comes. There will be no excuses when death comes. Hey, we must be ready to die because none of us know, brother, when death is going to come. There's a lot of things that man can do, but some things he cannot do. Number one, man cannot stall death from coming. How about this, church? Man cannot sin without reaping the consequences. In Psalm chapter 9, our scripture tonight, the Bible says in verse number 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. Now, don't you understand tonight? God's a God of forgiveness. And God's a God of mercy. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad there's forgiveness with the Lord. I'm so glad that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how many times I've had to claim that scripture. By the way, I've had to claim it today. I mean, I had to go to God today and say, God, forgive me for my carnality and forgive me for my speeding and forgive me for my bad faults and forgive me for my worldliness. And I've had to claim it today. And I'm so glad that our God is a God of forgiveness and a God of mercy. But may I say tonight, a man or a woman is fooling themselves if they believe that they continue in a life of sin without judgment finally coming. I'm telling you, you can do a lot of things, but you cannot and you will not continue in sin without the judgment of God coming upon your life. Now, I know that's a little old-fashioned preaching right there, but you know what? We need to get some of that preaching back in our churches, don't we? And I know y'all have got that kind of preaching here, but I'm going to tell you what, buddy, you wouldn't hurt America to hear that kind of preaching again. And I'm all for preaching the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the love of God, because brother, he is a loving God and he's a forgiving God, but he's also a holy God and he's a God that judges sin. And if we continue to go in the way we're going, I'm telling you, brother, it will catch up with us. You see, the Bible says, Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen, church, I love y'all tonight. I mean that. Man, I feel sometimes like this is my home church. I mean it. Man, I feel just as comfortable here as I do anywhere. But I'm just telling you, brother, you know what? And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. You may be a visitor. You may be the first time you've ever stepped in these doors. And don't judge this church on who's preaching to you tonight. Come back Sunday and hear the man of God who'll preach to you Sunday. But I'm just telling you, whoever you are, whether it's me or Pastor Mark or anybody else here tonight, you're not going to live a life of sin and it not catch up with you. I'm telling you, brother, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm telling you, brother, if you continue to live away from God, judgment is going to come. You just don't listen. And I know a lot of kids, some of our kids, they don't understand this, but kids, I want to tell you something. You're not going to play with Satan and not get burned. He's going to get you. I'm telling you, man. I know. He promises bright lights and fame and friendship and prestige and money and fun and all that. But I'm telling you, he's a low down, dirty, stinking liar. He never tells the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. And brother, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't want you to have fun. He wants to damn your soul in hell one day and ruin your testimony and ruin your family and ruin your home. I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, you may not believe it, but the devil is after you tonight. Oh yes. I read that little story about the scorpion. Well, was going up and down the riverbank one day and he wanted to get across the river, and he was trying to figure out how to get across the river. A little frog came swimming by and the scorpion said, "Hey, Mr. Frog, how about letting me jump on your back and give me a ride across the river?" Mr. Frog said, "No way, Jose. No way." He said, "Come on, man." He said, "Let me hop on your back and give me a ride across the river." He said, "No way." He said, "If I let you get on my back," he said, "we get out there, you'll sting me." He said, "We'll drown." And the scorpion said, "Why would I do that?" He said, "If I sting you, we'll both drown. Frog said, that's true. He said, well, hop aboard. He got on his back and a frog began to swim out. They got out back in the middle of the river and all of a sudden, scorpion stung him. They were sinking. And the frog looked up at the scorpion and said, why'd you do that? Why'd you sting me? And the scorpion said, because it's just in my nature to sting. I'm telling you what, kids. Hollywood makes it look all glamorous and wonderful. And man, the drug crowd makes the drugs look great. And now we've got a bunch of, I don't know what the word, numbskull politicians who, you know what, if it's not bad enough, now we're going to legalize marijuana. That'll make things better. Let's legalize marijuana. You know, it's not, we already got enough alcoholics in America and we'll have people driving drunk tonight. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and let it get beamed out of their minds on marijuana now. And the drug crowd comes and says it's all good and it's fun and drinking's fun and Budweiser's fun and Miller's fun and come up to the high country and man, it's all great. And I'm just telling you, I came here to tell you tonight that when you play around with the devil, I tell you, he's going to get you. You'll not play around with sin and not reap the circumstances. You say, good night, Brother Pope. It's the last night. What in the world are you preaching something like this for? I don't know. I don't know either. I'm just trying to follow what God told me to do. It could be tonight there's a young person here. Your mama don't know what's going on. Your daddy don't know what's going on. Your pastor doesn't know what's going on. Your Sunday school teacher doesn't know what's going on. You've got it hid. You've got it covered up. I mean, brother, you're pretty good at doing that. But you know what? Even though your pastor doesn't know and your mama doesn't know and your daddy doesn't know, I'm telling you, brother, there's a God up on high and God knows tonight. And I'm telling you, if you continue to live in sin, it's going to catch up with you. I know y'all heard about the young lady. She'd been brought up in a Christian home. Mama tried her best to raise her right, teach her morals, take her to church, teach her how to dress right. And that went really good for a while. But then that young lady got hooked up with the wrong kind of girls and the wrong kind of crowd. And they said, you don't have to dress like your mama says. And you don't have to live like your mama says. Man, have fun. Enjoy life. Isn't that what they always say? Man, enjoy it. Well, there was spring break going on down in Daytona, Florida. I don't know how in the world she talked her mom into it. But she said, Mom, I'm going to go down with some of the girls and we're going to just go for several days, spring break. And it's just going to be me and the girls and we're going to have it. But they all had it all planned out. Somehow she talked her mom into it. And her and that those girls took off down to Daytona Beach, Florida. But you know what? For several days, they had it all planned out. She shacked up with a boy she didn't even know in a hotel room all week. Man, she knew. If mama knew, she'd be so disappointed. She knew if her pastor found out, he'd be so disappointed. But all week long, she rebelled against that. She knew what was right. She knew what was wrong. She had heard it preached. She had heard her Sunday school teacher teach it. She knew what was right according to the Word of God. But all that week, she lived in that affair of immorality and knew it was wrong and knew she was sinning against God. About the last day or so, she woke up in that hotel room. And when she did, she woke up and he wasn't beside her. You know how you are in a hotel room sometimes. It takes you just a little while to get acclimated. You're thinking, wait a minute, where am I at? She wakes up and sits up in the bed. She looks around. She doesn't see the boy. She doesn't know where he's at. She runs out on the balcony. He's not there. She looks around the room and his luggage is not there. His baggage is gone. She's sort of frantic. And so she thinks maybe the bathroom. She runs in the bathroom to see if he's in there. And when she ran to the bathroom, he had taken a tube of her red lipstick and he'd written in big bold letters on the mirror, welcome to the world of AIDS. Let me tell you something, church. We can do a lot of things, but you won't live in sin without reaping the consequences. You know what every one of us ought to do, brother? We ought to dig some deep roots in a house of God just like this and say, I ain't going nowhere, man. I mean, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to keep my family here and I'm going to raise my kids here. And listen, come hell or high water, I'm telling you, brother, I want to stay by the grace of God. I'm going to stay in the will of God. And God, keep me close to thee. And don't let me get away from you, brother. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And if you get away from God, there's no telling what you'll do. There's a lot of things that man can do, but there's a lot of things man cannot do. Man cannot stall death. Man cannot sin without reaping. Let me close tonight. Tell you something else that man cannot do. Man cannot save his own soul. Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen to this part. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 verse number 5. The Bible reminds us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. Jesus said this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm telling you, brother, we cannot. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter how rich, how poor. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. I'm telling you, brother, there's not one thing you can do. There's not one thing I can do that can ever take us to heaven on our own. I don't know if we have any snake lovers in here tonight. People sometimes make jokes about Calvary handling snakes. I said, I can tell you one thing that will never happen at our Calvary. And that is, we're not going to handle snakes. When you start handling snakes, I'm out of there, brother. I'm out of there. I don't like them. You say, well, preacher, there's good snakes, there's bad snakes. They're all bad to me. I don't like them. You say, well, you know, this color, I don't care what color they are. I'm just telling you, I don't like them. I don't like them. Somebody tell us about a snake, though. A snake, at a certain time of the year, will shed its skin. But you know, when that snake sheds his skin, it's not a new creature. It's the same old snake. It's the same snake. You say, all right, preacher, what's your point? My point is this. You can shed your skin, but it's the same old snake. You can turn over a new leaf. You can join the church. You can confess your sins to Pastor Mark. You can say Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. You can be confirmed. You can be baptized down here in the creek until you know every tadpole by name. I'm just telling you, brother, you can try everything you want to try, but you know what? Just shedding your skin, just turning over a new leaf, just making a new beginning doesn't make you saved. Did you know the Bible says in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, we must be born again. But here's the problem. The Bible says we have fallen short of his glory. I know I've told this story. I went back and checked, and I'm positive I've told this story. But it fits so good. Can I close with this story? I read the story one time of three men. They were running from an enemy. They had ran and ran and ran. It was late at night. And they were just completely out of energy, out of gas. And the enemy was right on their heels. And finally, as they were running through the dark, they came to the edge of a cliff. And down below were jagged rocks and the ocean and the waves are crashing in. They could not go forward because the ocean and the cliff. They could not go back because the enemy was there. What were they going to do? But that night, the moon looked so bright and the moon looked so close. And the men began to talk and they said, I know what we can do. I know what we can do. If we could get a running start and if we can jump from the cliff to the moon, we can get away from the enemy. They all agreed. One man was somewhat of a cripple. He wasn't very fast. He wasn't very agile. But he did his best He tried his best. He was really sincere. He wanted to make it. He backed up best he could. He had a cane in his hand. And he said, I'm going to try. He hobbled over to the edge of the cliff and he jumped the best he could. But you know the story. He failed. Gravity took over and he fell down that cliff. And his body hit those rocks and the waves came in and grabbed that dead body and swept it out. The next man said, I've got to do better. I've got to do better. He didn't make it, but I've got to do better. And so he got back. He took a lot of breaths and he even thought positively. And he said, I think I can. And he ran. And he got to the edge and he jumped just with all that he could jump. And he did make it further. But gravity took over. And his body fell and hit those rocks. And body was broken and mangled. And the waves came in, swept his body out. The next man said, I've got to do better than that. And so he backed up even further. And he ran with all of his might. But you know the story. He jumped and he went further. But gravity took over. And his body fell just like the last two. And his body was mangled and racked down there on those rocks. And his body was washed out in the ocean. You see, the moral of the story is this. Although the moon looked very close, what those men didn't understand was the moon was actually 220,000 miles away. There was no way they could get to the moon without a rocket ship. And I said that to say this, and I'm done. There is no way, my friend, that you'll ever make it to heaven without Jesus Christ. You can jump. You can confess. You can speak in tongues. You can do anything and everything you want to do. You can sing. You can dance. You can turn flips. I'm telling you, there's not anything that you and I can do that will take us to heaven except Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So I love you tonight. I guarantee you we got some brilliant minds in here tonight. I know we do. I'm pretty sure we probably got a few folk that make a pretty good earning, pretty good income, pretty good living. Some of you live in really nice homes and you drive really nice cars and you're doing well. That's a blessing. But there are some things we cannot do. We cannot save ourselves. And we cannot continue to live in sin and live in sin and live in sin without reaping the consequences. If you're here tonight and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved, come on, friend. Tonight's the last night. You're going to have to make a move tonight. You say, well, I tell you what, Brother Pope, when Brother Mark preaches Sunday, I'm coming back. Brother, you don't know you'll make it back Sunday. I mean, I hope you do, but I don't know that I'll be in church Sunday. I'm telling you, brother, you don't have a guarantee of the next breath. You know what y'all to do? Y'all to get it settled tonight. Amen. I mean tonight, brother. If I was here this evening and I was lost, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do. I'd run down to this altar. I wouldn't wait till the piano starts playing. I wouldn't wait till Brother Scott brings a song. I wouldn't wait till the pastor comes up to the pulpit tonight, brother. If I was lost, I would run down to this altar and say, preacher, I gotta get it settled once and for all. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be in heaven one day. And I'd get saved tonight. And by the way, we're rooting for you. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this time we've had together tonight. I really do believe this was your will. Lord, I believe there's somebody here tonight that you had in mind. And here's what's so great. See, I don't know these folk. I don't know them. But I did pray for them. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, God, that you'd show me and that you'd lead me and that you'd show me what to preach. And so because of that, I believe you've got somebody in mind tonight. God, I believe there's somebody here this evening that may not know Christ as Savior. And tonight, they ought to come. God, I really believe that maybe there's one here tonight that's living on the edge of sin. Mama doesn't know, daddy doesn't know, preacher doesn't know, but God knows. And Lord, you sent this preacher from Iredell County to come up here tonight and warn them that you love them and that you'll forgive them, but they'll not continue to sin without reaping the consequence. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Right before Pastor Mark comes, can I ask a question or two so I can pray, so I'll know how to pray even when I leave here? I've prayed this week. I've prayed for some of you. I've prayed for Connor this week. I wonder how many are here tonight. First of all, you'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I mean, if I were to have a heart attack or a stroke in the next 2 minutes, you'd say, preacher, I know there's not even a doubt that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. You'd slip your hand up very quickly and you can take it right back down. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back and grab anybody. I've never done that. I'm not going to do it tonight. You know what? It's got to be you. It can't be me anyway. You're the one that's got to make the choice. But I wonder, would you at least let me pray for you tonight? I'll not pray for you by name, but God will know. Man, I'm telling you what, I feel the Lord right now working. I really do. I feel like God's doing something right now. How many are here tonight? You'd say, Brother Pope, I'm about to get real honest. Real honest. Preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. You'd slip your hand up. Thank you, young man. He was raising it before I even got to it. Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Oh, Calvary, we need to pray right now. Thank you for being honest. I wonder if there's another tonight you'd let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. If I died, I'm just not sure. Oh, man. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Preacher, come on, pray for me tonight. Is there one? Is there another? Is there another anywhere? Come on, can I pray for you real quick? Is there one more? One more. Young man, I'm rooting for you tonight. Sir, I'm so glad you came tonight. I'm rooting for you tonight. In just a moment, we're going to stand. I want you to come. Man, I want you to come. I'm going to be down here. Pastor Mark will be here. Brother Chris will be here. Some of these other brothers will be here. Listen. I'll tell you what, let's do, church. I just feel like I'm going to do this. Would you stand with us tonight?